Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cenacle Series, and this is the ebook series where Maureen and I will attempt to methodically go through Reverend Father Joseph Liwei Nuzzi's doctoral dissertation, and we'll explain that a little bit for those joining for the first time in a bit. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to begin now. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love. The spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God. The spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility. The spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to bring in Maureen. I did see her. I lost her. Has anyone seen Maureen? Okay, well, she was here. I'm sure she'll be back. I know she's been having some queries with her computer of late. So we'll just, if you see her, just let me know. So again, this is the ebook series. And for those of you joining us for the first time, we take Reverend Father Joseph Liwei Nuzzi's doctoral dissertation, which was done through the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See. So basically, Father was going for the first of his several doctorates, and this was in mysticism. And he was he decided to use Luis's writings because he was introduced to it. He was enamored by it. So he went to the Archbishop of Corrado. He didn't have to seek permission and a blessing, but of course he did the proper protocol. He asked for the blessing and the endorsement, and the bishop gave it to him. So Father set out then to translate all of Luis's writings from Italian to English. Then he set out in his dissertation to prove that everything that Luisa penned, everything that Jesus and Mary, we use the word purported, but we know it is Jesus and Mary that dictated the work to Luisa. Father had to prove that everything penned is Catholic and is in our Catholic Church, can be found, the roots can be found somewhere, whether it be the Magisterium, the Patristics, the doctors of the church, the fathers, the catechism. It had to be somewhere, had to be grounded. And he successfully defended that. And I think what's so important about this is, again, successfully defended that it received abrogation. I didn't know what abrogation was when I first heard it, but abrogation is technically a scholastic word for approval. So it received approval by the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome. Again, this is the university that many popes have gone through. They are speaking on behalf of the Holy See. So when they say, yes, we approve it, they're doing so on behalf of the Holy See. So the great news is that we have a periodical. We've got a compilation of Luis's writings that have all been approved. I mean, we know that the first 19 volumes had the Nihil Obstat and the Imprimatur, and it's Italian translation. Remember, there's no Imprimatur for English because it's not available yet. But here, Father's taken the writings. He's given us a summary. He's then takes us into the volume, shows us where we can see where Father drew his corroboration, how he formulated his theory and his thesis. So it's all great here. And again, this is a beautiful tool for cynical groups. If you're looking for a new way of doing it, just take the dissertation. There's nothing that can, nobody can complain. Oh, this isn't approved, or you can't use that. I mean, it's beautiful. Again, this is all in anticipation of the critical edition, which, when it is generated by the Vatican, will be what supersedes everything. But you still use Father's summary because they're not going to summarize everything like Father did. It's a great tool. It's a really, really great tool. So I don't know. Did Maureen come back? Is that her on the bottom? I can't see. I'm getting old. I can't see. Oh, yeah, she's there. Okay. I just see the top of her head. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Peter. I lost my connection, but I'm back.
Oh, okay. And it sounds like you're losing your voice too.
It's coming and going, so hopefully it'll calm
Okay.
and stay.
Oh, it's just some myologies. Myology is a terrible thing.
Yeah.
We're just talking about Father Nuzzi's dissertation and the beauty of it. And again, for anyone who wants to get a copy of it, you can go to Father's website, livingintheDivineWill.org. He has it in hard copy, he has it in soft copy. It's also available in an ebook on the computer, which is really, really great too, because as you're reading on the computer or the Kindle, you can click on the footnote. It takes you right to the footnote, and you can toggle back to the summary, and it's really, really great. So we highly recommend that. And again, if finances are an issue, discreetly, if you want to just send me an email in confidence, we'll get you at least the ebook series free of charge. We'll discuss this with Father, and he wants this available to everyone because it's just going to help the general good. This is for all our help, for all our benefit. Now, also another thing, Maureen, that's really important. I'm going to skip down here a little bit. Where is, okay, right here. It's important too to use this material that Father's developed, because the Archbishop, the late Archbishop Beceri from Corrado, he stated, it's been also repeated by other bishops in Corrado, that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. Again, this doesn't mean that you cannot gather, you cannot discuss, you cannot study without a priest, but it's nice to have that priest when you hit that quagmire, when you hit that juncture where you're not quite sure. I'm there quite often, that you sort of bounce it off a priest, hopefully a priest that's versed in the divine will. And that's even scarcer. I mean, Maureen, it's hard to find a priest, period, to ask a question because they're so busy. And then to find a divine will priest is really almost near impossible at times. But we have this dissertation, which is so great. So again, everything here, you're being guided by a priest in the summary, in the suggestion of the passages to read, in the summation. Everything is there. It's just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, I don't think we realize the magnitude of what we have here as we await the critical edition. Again, we're not quite sure when that might be, because again, as Mother Gabriel articulated yesterday on Radio Maria, as well as we did also in the past, there are no errors in Luis's writings. We can be clear on that. But the Archbishop stated that there are some ambiguities. There are some portions of the writings that right now the Vatican and the Church is having difficulty explaining to convert it, to disseminate it to the public. So that's where they're having a little bit of an issue. Again, not an error, but again, they just need the guidance. And Jesus, he knew this was going to happen. He said it, I don't know what volume it's in, Maureen. He said, the Church at first is going to try to understand this in human terms, and it's impossible. I mean, how do you take divine realities and you try to convert that into human conversation? It's really difficult. In fact, even Father Iannuzzi said that. He said, what was that quote he made on Radio Maria? He said, the divine will is very difficult to explain in words, but it's very easy to understand once we accept it. And if you just ponder that for a moment, it makes perfect sense, because as we give our fiat, as we accept it, God gives us the grace and graces in order to understand it. In fact, he says, I don't have it in front of me. Remember, Maureen, he says, oh, here it is. He says in volume 19, August 31st, 1926, he says, quote, how many things there are in my will that I must give to creatures, but they have to come into its kingdom in order to receive them, end quote. So we have to cross that threshold, so to speak, be in the foyer of the mansion. We don't necessarily have to be in all the rooms at first, but we need to get out of the elements. And Jesus says it's very easy to enter into this gift. In fact, he says, Father Inez also articulates it in one of his books, The Splendor of Creation. He says, basically, if you're in the state of grace, you can receive this gift. Because again, this is a mystical gift. It's not like our baptismal gifts. And Father Nuzzi also reminds us that mystical gifts are given unequally, not like our baptismal gifts. They're given to whomever God pleases, when he pleases, to what extent he pleases. So again, you can be, technically, you can be somebody who's never heard of Luisa, never heard of the divine will, and you can receive this gift. Because if we were to say, well, you have to have the volumes, you have to, no, that would be breaching it in the heresy of Gnosticism. You know, only those who have are in possession, because it's impossible for everyone, due to the fault of their own, to be in possession of these writings. But we're really, really fortunate. And if God has made, I truly believe, if God has made these writings available to us, Maureen, he expects us to read or listen. There's audio books and everything here as well. Any comments? I
Peter,
know it was a little
yeah.
long-winded.
Well, I was thinking the other day how I was learning how to do sourdough starter. I don't know if you understand, if you know what that is, but
What
the
is it?
ladies do. Sourdough starter. If you're going to make bread, you're going to make sourdough
Oh,
bread.
yeah.
So you have
Sounds
to go step by step. And when you read the book, you're like, what? What? And you know, but then when you do it, once you do it, there's maybe 20 steps, but once you do it once, you say, oh, okay, I get this. But sometimes when you read it, it doesn't sink in until you actually do it. And I said to my daughter, this is like the divine will. When you read things, you might not quite understand it. But when you begin to live it and you begin to detach yourself, like Jesus says, or you begin to do the little things that he tells you to do, exercises and shunning your own will, then you begin to get it. And it's not such a mystery. So it's not something that you just read and put on a shelf. Every day you do a little more and you do a little more. And then it becomes like second nature. Well, I'm not there yet, but my will is pretty strong. But I mean, if you really give up your will, you understand it more. So for those who are reading it and they're not quite getting it, it will come little by you actually doing it in your life. Just like when I was making bread for the first time, I'm like, gosh, there's a lot of steps to this. Am I going to re remember it? But you do it, you get through it, and then the next day you do it again and it's easier. And that's the divine will. Amen.
That's right. And Jesus also expands upon that also in volume 36. I don't have the passage in front of me, but he says that the divine will has two opposite effects based on our disposition. And disposition meaning really in essence our desire. He says it has two opposite effects. For those who are longing for this, who trust in this, who believe in this, it's life and light. I'm paraphrasing right now because I don't have the passage in front of me. He says, but for those who are looking just to split hairs and to find faults, it'll be blindness. It'll be they won't. He says they won't understand a thing, and that, I think that's the reason how we can answer the question of how can this be seen by 10 people, and one has the reaction like we do. Wow, this is incredible. This is out of the ordinary. This is spectacular. And the other nine, it's okay. So again, it's that desire. It's that do we really want to understand this? And that's when I think to your point again. And then also what Jesus says, you have to come into the divine kingdom in order to receive them. Then he says, oh, how many things my will keeps prepared and has established to give to one who wants to live in the kingdom under its liberal and sweet regime. It does not, this is important, it does not want to entrust the goods outside of its kingdom because it knows that if they get out of its boundaries, they shall neither be appreciated nor understood. And again, going back to your point also, constancy, repetition, yes, it seems mundane, but that's how we develop that second nature. And then that second nature evolves through grace into our nature. And then again, through additional grace, it becomes us. So yeah, it's just the transubstantiation that Father Celso talks about. It's not just changing the outside, but changing the inside. In fact, if you look at it, for 2,000 years, God's work has been on the outside, trying to permeate into our heart. Now through the divine will, he says, okay, time out. I'm going to go inside out. Because again, the body expresses the soul. So that's this undercover coming, this intermediate coming that Saint Cyril of Jerusalem speaks about and Saint Bernard of Clairvaux speak about, three comings of Christ. And again, this is not something you probably want to blurt out on a first impression to somebody explain the divine will, because they're going to run. Three. I never heard of three comings. But it's there. It's in our writing. And these are Saint Cyril and Saint Bernard, not only are they saints, but they're fathers of the church. In fact, St. Bernard, as we spoke about, he's in the breviary. The religious read that every day. So these are very, very credible people that are stating there are three comings. Okay, where is it? I asked Father Nuzzi, it's right now. It's right now. It's after the first coming, which happened 2,000 years ago. It's before the final coming, which hasn't happened yet. It's this intermediate coming, this in between, this era of preparation, sanctification. And I think to myself when I wake up sometimes, I say, how could I miss this? Or how about souls who are going to miss this? And that's why we have to try to I don't want to say announce this, but we have to try to make this known, of course, to ourselves first so we can articulate it. But I mean, we gain such a peace and serenity that, again, we want to share this with everybody. And then that's what's so vital about this. And I think this is the ultimate communion of saints. I really do. It's phenomenal. But yeah, good point there, Maureen. We have the constancy. Constancy is
No, I was
probably the
thinking
key.
too. Like, how else people, you talk about the 1,000 years of peace. Well, how are we going to have 1,000 years of peace unless Jesus does it himself? We can't do that. We can't. If we look at the world, we're going to have 1,000 years of peace. How's that going to happen? Divine will. It seems like it gets to be easier when you're looking at things that you've heard before, and you didn't know how that was ever going to happen.
Yeah.
And these puzzle pieces are just fitting in, and we don't have to be theologians to see it.
Right.
It
Right.
seems pretty obvious.
I have a speculation on that. And again, I could be totally wrong, but Jesus states that after these chastisements, after these grueling chastisements are over, it's going to leave only the children of divine will. Again, in varying degrees. Of penetration to the divine will. But it's only going to leave those living in the divine will left. I forget where he says that also. I think he says it in two places. So if you think about it, Satan, like a tick, needs a host. If there's no host, the tick dies. So if Satan is looking to find a crack in an opening in a soul to convert and or pervert them, if he doesn't find that, he's not going to be, he can't be successful. So if you think about that 1,000 years of peace, he's going to be, impotent. He's not going to have any power whatsoever because he'll have no life in him. And then, of course, he's released, and then we go, then the final battle. And so it gets complicated. I don't know much about that. All I do know is what Jesus says, and I do believe it. So, and we're so fortunate. We say this every week, but we are so fortunate. And I mean, how do, I'm ashamed of myself when I neglect to say thank you to our Lord throughout the day. I'm really, when I go to bed at night, how many times did I miss that opportunity to say thank you? And again, he understands, like if we're driving and we're in a critical situation, we may not be able to think of, we're doing what's in front of us. He expects us to do that. But I mean, just in the small things, just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to go live. Thank you for the equipment that you bestowed and everything that's in our minds to be able to think and be able to speak and be able to listen. All these things that we pretty much, I know, I take for granted, but they're all gifts. I mean, we've received a plethora of gifts already, and this is nothing. He says the vast majority is when we enter into the gift. And again, it's not difficult. He says state of grace. He says also somewhere this he had to make this easy and accessible to all, in all situations, all circumstances, and all conditions. He said it was easy for anyone to enter into this gift, except for those who do not want it. So again, if he only made it for a few, that would be sort of an unfair God, and he's the fairest of fair. So he's going to make this available to each and every one of us if we want it. And the best way we can appreciate what we've been given is to learn about it, and that's why it's important to read and to listen, to talk amongst ourselves. We're still on 6.1.5.1. No, surprise there. Maureen, if we can take it down to 104, and then we'll jump down to 104.
6.1.5.1 Exchange of Properties. If Thomas describes that the human will of Christ as sharing in the operation of his divine will that moves and rules, such that the different wills in Christ accomplish one in different operation, To Louisa, Jesus reveals how his divine will cooperated with my human will, how everything remained linked within me, how I did and redid everything, and how each thought of every soul was redone by me and sealed with my divine will. Jesus reassures Louisa, to those who desire to live in his divine will, he progressively reveals to what excess my divinity went when operating within my humanity for love of souls, an excess that greatly surpasses that which my humanity operated externally, to be multiplied with me, and while on earth, to penetrate everywhere, both in heaven and in hearts, putting aside the human ways and operating in divine ways.
Yeah, and that's Father Annuzzi's summary of the exchange of properties. It's so powerful. Every time I read it, it's just so powerful. So we're going to drop down now to footnote number 104. And we've, we could, Maureen, we covered this part, but I'd like to just skim it a bit because it really connects to the new material for today. And we're pretty good on time at this moment. So,
Okay. You want me to start with this? Okay.
Yeah, this is the reason, please.
This is the reason for the general confusion. It is nothing other than the preparation of the third renewal. If in the second renewal, I manifested what my humanity did and suffered, and very little of what my divinity was operating now, in this third renewal, after the earth will be purged and a great part of the current generation destroyed, I will be even more generous with creatures, and I will accomplish the renewal by manifesting what my divinity did within my humanity. How my divine will acted with my human will. How everything remained linked within me. How I did and redid everything. And how even each thought of each creature was redone by me and sealed with my divine volition. My love wants to pour itself out. It wants to make known the excesses which my divinity operated in my humanity for the creatures, excesses which greatly surpass the excesses that my humanity operated externally. This is also why I often speak to you about living in my will, which I have not manifested to anyone until now. At the most, they have known the shadow of my will, the grace and the sweetness of doing it. But to penetrate inside of it, to embrace immensity, to be multiplied with me, and even while being on earth, penetrate everywhere, both into heaven and into the hearts, laying down the human ways and acting in divine ways, this is not yet known. So much so that not to a few will this appear strange, and those who do not keep their mind opened to the light of truth will not understand a thing. But little by little, I will make my way, manifesting now one truth, now another, about this living in my will, so that they will end up understanding.
There's just so much in there. I mean, he explains so, you know, the general confusion about why the world is in the shape it's in right now. He talks about his divinity and his humanity. Now he's giving the excesses. He talks about the penetration. I mean, this just, and also he iterates in another way what we just mentioned about in volume 36, how if we're open-minded, if we're seeking the truth, if we're desiring this gift, it's going to be light in life. And if we're looking to split hairs, if we're looking to, you know, to challenge this, we're not really wanted. He basically says, I don't know where, Maureen, but he says, actually, if you're reading and studying and you're trying to learn the divine will, I'm paraphrasing. He says, if things aren't progressing well, I mean, we know if we're progressing well or not, even bit by bit. He says, the true desire to want this gift may be lacking or may be insufficient. So that's where we go back and we talk about how do we do that? There's actually a there's a Visio chart, a little diagram on the website at queenofthedivinewill.org. It's in on the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids. It's under the category of ardent desire. Jesus says we must form an ardent desire. I had no idea. Well, what is an ardent desire? I mean, think about it. I mean, true desire, earnest desire, but it's a little more than that. And Father Iannuzzi was great, gracious enough to pluck out where in the volumes Jesus spoke about what ingredients are necessary to sort of bake this ardent desire. And it's all in this diagram. And again, if we have it, again, the beauty is if he's asking us to form it, and we don't know how to form it or what it is to form, then that could be very difficult. That would be sort of unfair. That's not fair. He's the fairest of fair. So again, he's going to give us this insight. He's going to let us know this is what is necessary. And again, it's up to us. We can either take the advice and do it, or we cannot. But it's there. And again, the ardent desire is so very important on how we progress. And but again, it's not how fast. You know, Maureen, we've talked about this too. It's just like also the reading. Yeah, this is not, growing up, we had this Evelyn Wood speed reading, where you'd be able to read a book in 2 days. And it's not really how fast. I mean, I think this is more quality over quantity. And even St. Hannibal, why don't we mention this often to nauseam? St. Hannibal suggested too. He says, well, I read one to two, this is him speaking, St. Hannibal, one to two passages a day. He says, because I want to understand as to the best of my ability. What I'm reading. And again, that I mean, to me, any more than that also is just it's overload for me. I forget what I'm reading. So I have a very small mind. So again, this is not doesn't matter how fast we are. And we've also talked about this too. It doesn't matter where we are. We shouldn't worry about he's there and she's there and nobody knows where anyone is. But really, we're all a piece of this puzzle, and our job is to get onto the table where the puzzle's being constructed. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter. Again, he'll move us around. Our Blessed Lady will move us around to where we need to be. We just need to get on the table. Again, he leaves it up to us. He does all the hard work, but he waits for us, I guess, to initiate, to take that first step. And then the graces flow that they have been for all of us. I mean, for us to be here today, to be alive at this time, and to be desiring the divine will. Think about our lives. Take the and look at God's mysterious permissible will. Take one of the most tragic situations in our lives or most difficult, and then think about if God's permissible will did not allow that event to happen, would we be here today? And then I fail to recognize how we can possibly. Because we're on this like huge bumper car ride, and when we hit the wall, it's not necessarily bad. Because what happens when you hit the wall, you get redirected into a different direction, the correct direction. So I think that's what God's doing in each and every one of us. Any thoughts on that, Maureen?
Well, I'm fascinated by how our Lord, when you think about a king, you think about him on the throne and just delegating all the work to everybody. He is constantly working, like just that last sentence. He says, but little by little, I will make my way, manifesting now one truth, now another, about living in my will, so they will end up understanding. And that kind of thing's all through the volumes. He's constantly working, constantly wooing us, constantly thinking of different ways to say one thing. He'll say it 20 different ways so that one of us can get it this way, and then another of us will get it this way. He's such a loving God, and he's on our side. He's saying, come on, come on. He's not fighting us. He's not saying, all right, see if you can reach me. He's with us in the journey. And just that, I mean, makes you want to learn it because he's so good, and you just trust that what he wants for us is the best thing. So even if you read and you didn't understand one thing you read, to say, that's okay, Lord, because you want me to do this. And so you get the peace from that. But have you ever heard, I don't know, I just heard the other day, like you were saying, everybody's different, how they require the gift. And this one man, Greg Dunn from Ireland, he was like a Saint Paul of the divine will, like how Jesus knocked Paul off his horse, and he received many truths of the love of God quicker than anybody else because he had a job to do. And this Greg Dunn from Ireland, I was just laughing the whole time I was listening to this little guy talk about how the Lord infused in him the divine will, you know, and it's really good. It's a really good testimony. I loved it. And I tell everyone, just listen to this. I mean, it's not our journey. He's not going to infuse it into us like that. But he says, he could barely read and write. He could barely speak. And yet the Lord chose him to give him his will, like he did Paul. He like knocked him off his horse and he received it, an infusion of it. And I did feel myself feeling a little envious, I must say. But yeah, so if anybody can watch that video, it's pretty good.
I agree with you. I think the initial video, I think we did the first video with oh my goodness, I forget her name now. The woman from Ireland. Help me
Oh,
out, Ian.
Frances Hogan. Frances Hogan.
Frances Hogan, Frances Hogan, yes. The first time with Frances Hogan was with him. He's brand new and he was really, really authentic. Well, we'll talk about that another time, but yeah, that was really, it was enlightening. It was, again, God, he doesn't want to leave anyone behind,
Nope.
and we're all going to get it in our own, and that's why we have all this help, all these souls that are, explaining from their perspective what this gift is, and speaking about, their enlightenment through and with the writings. But ultimately, this gift is going to be taught to us, and is being taught to us by our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady. I mean, everybody in the field is really basically cheerleaders. I mean, there's the
Yeah.
hierarchy of cheerleaders also, but we really are, and we have to remember that we're not the players yet. But I know some cheerleaders that became players. So in the real world, actually, or in this world. So again, this is going to happen. He says it's going to happen. This is not something that's far-fetched, and he's left enough breadcrumbs throughout all of history so that we recognize this. I mean, going all the way back. I mean, look what Saint Cyril, he was in 325 or 330, 310, something like that. He's talking about this intermediate coming. And then his compadre, his contemporary, Saint Bernard, 800 years later, expands upon it. But again, that thought, that reality, that truth didn't die. So just amazing. I mean, our faith is so rich and so
Oh, yeah.
complete, and has roots. That's I think the key there. So again, another quote that Saint Cyril said. He says, we've seen basically Bethesda. He was giving a talk. I don't think it was a sermon. He was talking about when things get difficult. He says, wise advice. He says, flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, but never leave the church. So you think about that. We may have to realign ourselves, going forward when things get tough. I think it might be difficult, perhaps, to know whom to trust and things of that nature. So we have to pray. We need God's grace for that, and He'll get us through. I'm confident of that. Okay, so this is the new material that we haven't covered. Maybe we can get some of this done. That'd be great. Thanks, Frank.
Now, the first link which connected the true living in my will was my humanity. My humanity identified with my divinity, swam in the eternal volition, and kept tracing all the acts of creatures in order to make them its own, to give to the Father a divine glory on the part of creatures, and to bring the value, the love, the kiss of the eternal volition to all the acts of creatures. In this sphere of the eternal volition, I could see all the acts of creatures, those which could be done and were not done, and also the good acts done badly. And I did those which had not been done and redid those done badly. Now, these acts which were not done, except by me alone, are all suspended in my will, and I await the creatures to come to live in my volition and repeat in my will that which I did.
Now, how can anyone, I can't explain what was just said by Jesus, but I just look at it platonically, and it's just basically he's taken everything we've done in our fallen nature. See, everything when Adam and Eve were in their prime, when they were in that union, everything they did gave glory to God on the level of God, because they were one with God, they were fused with God. But when that fall occurred, basically that was all, that connectivity was all lost. So here he's saying, okay, I did it all. You don't have to think about what you didn't do well and do it. And, you know, I did it all for you, but I need you to come in again, come into, I have many things that are in my will that I must give the creatures, but they have to come into its kingdom in order to receive them. So when we come in, it's basically, we have to come in and we have to claim the work done by Jesus. Yes, fiat, I accept your work. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for me. Thank you for doing what I could not do. Again, is it that easy that it becomes that difficult? Like we say to ourselves, wait, can it be, is that it? Well, it's everything if you think about it. But again, he had to make this available to everyone. I mean, I have a very small mind.
I don't know whether I'm understanding this. I'm just going to say this, Peter, and tell me if this is correct. I'm picturing us on the earth and all the acts suspended above the earth, circling the earth. They're in the sky. They're up there. I have to picture it. They're suspended. Okay. And as we live in the divine will, they come down and become divine acts. Is that what he's saying? And so it brings the kingdom down. The kingdom's kind of hanging up there. It's not here yet. And with each act and round, and as the people pray in the divine will and live in the divine will, the kingdom comes a little bit further down, a little bit further down. So it's not going to, one day it's not going to be suspended. It's going to be here. When we're all, you know, when more of us are living, the kingdom's going to come down and onto the earth. But now it's just like hanging there. Guy, I don't know. That's how I'm picturing it. Is that right?
I couldn't explain any better than that. I think that's perfect. Again,
I was afraid to say it because I didn't want to say the wrong thing.
But it's consistent with the gift. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, the gift wasn't abolished; it was taken away in health and safekeeping. Similar to when the volumes were confiscated, they weren't destroyed; they were put in safekeeping for 56 years. So, again. Yeah, he's everything. We had a dress rehearsal too with the resurrection, right? Weren't things that were in limbo all of a sudden came to completion. So again, God's given us a track record. He's just upping the ante, so to speak, with what he's doing now. But yeah, it's all there. Everything that is suspended, waiting. Yeah. And he's given us a really easy job. Enter into the kingdom. And basically give glory and honor to God on the level of God, due to God, which you can only do in the kingdom, and those acts become yours.
Yeah.
We didn't have to work. The hardest thing we had to do was say yes to give our fiat. That's why Our Lady is the perfect, the Catechism, Article 507 states she's the perfect model and example of Holy Mother Church because of her fiat. She said it, she meant it, and she kept it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I have difficulty with.
Mm-hmm.
We can
mm-hmm.
continue.
This is why I chose you as the second link of connection with my humanity, a link which becomes one with mine as you live in my volition and repeat my own acts. Otherwise, on this side, my love would remain without its outpouring, without glory from the creatures, for all that my divinity operated within my humanity, and without the perfect purpose of creation, which must be enclosed and perfected in my will. It would be as if I shed all my blood and suffered so much and nobody had known it. Who would have loved me? Which heart would have been shaken? No one. And therefore, in no one would I have had my fruits, the glory of redemption.
I feel like that could have been added to his appeal. And by the way, you mentioned earlier about, how magnanimous this is, that this is our God. This is God, the uncaused cause, the God who is really pleading with us. I mean, think about the three appeals that were plucked out of the volumes. God the Father speaks. I think he's got two or three lines there. He speaks to us, his children, God the Father, God the Son speaks, God the Holy Spirit speaks. They're appealing. I mean, I don't know about you, but my scarce English is, it's like a plea. It's like a plea, please, an appeal. So again, Father gets off his throne. Well, maybe he doesn't get off his throne, but he says, come, come, read the last line of the Bible, and try to read the last line of the Bible and try to think the divine will. I'll show you next time a little diagram that I wrote about it. Come, come, who are thirsty. Read it. It's God ends the Bible with basically explaining the divine will in one sentence. It's just incredible. But yeah, it's all there. And Louisa, Father Celso is really good in reminding us this Louisa. I mean, again, we're not bowing down to Louisa. But we're appreciating God for Louisa. We're appreciating Louisa's sacrifice for what she did for God and for us. Remember, Louisa, in the writings, if you read it, she's always concerned about others, never really about herself. When she's given something by God, well, what about the others? She says, so she's really, she epitomizes really, I think, the perfect example of the communion of saints, because it's all about the collective. It's not about the individual, which I think is so great. Now, choosing Louisa and Second Link in Humanity, I was thinking, and I was going through the dissertation. We probably don't have much time for this, but I'd like to go down here, Maureen. I don't think I sent this to you. This is taken from a couple chapters back, 4.1.42. Yeah, I think we can read through this. There's no
Okay.
breaks except the end. This is Jesus speaking, and again, further articulating the fact that this Second Link, that this importance of Louisa being the funnel in order for God's grace to be cast and distributed on humanity.
Now, my daughter, my eternal wisdom disposed that one heavenly creature, the holiest of all, Mary, should prepare the seat of my holy and supreme will, in which I would carry out the divine design of man's resurrection. Now, through another creature, Louisa, in letting her enter the eternal dwellings of my will, in binding her will to mine, and untying her to all my acts, I'm sorry, and uniting her to all my acts, I cause her complete interior to resurrect in the eternal Son of my will, and to actualize the plane of my operation in human generations, so that whoever wishes to enter may do so by placing themselves in rapport with the will of their Creator. For up until now, man enjoyed the goods of redemption, but now he will attain greater heights and enjoy the fruits of the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven. That is, to enjoy the lost happiness, the dignity and nobility, the holy heavenly peace that man, in doing his will, forfeited from the face of the earth. A greater grace to mankind I could not give. By placing mankind again in direct relation with my will, I will restore to him all the goods with which I had endowed him at his creation. Should I keep going, Peter?
No, I'm just thinking, does it get any greater than that?
No.
I mean, to explain about, okay, so that was our Lord speaking. Now, yeah, we're going to continue because now Father News is going to give us a little bit of a synopsis. Again, I tried to delineate between what Jesus says and what Father says. So this is the summary, basically, that followed this from Jesus. I've actually neglected to put the passage number for that, but maybe next time I'll throw that in there as well. So if we can continue, please, Maria.
By virtue of God having deposited in Louise's soul the acts of all creatures, God made her the link through whom all others might receive the same gift that she possessed, assisting in the Holy Spirit's fiat of sanctification and following the model of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Louisa's universal act drew from God's prime act that embraces the retinue of Jesus and Mary's timeless acts on earth and the acts of all creatures. Although Mary surpassed the acts and the holiness of all creatures combined, since her retinue of acts was at Louise's disposal, they elevated her acts in such a way that she had more help than Adam, and at her disposal, greater and more things, such as her mother Mary's desires, sighs, and prayers. And how can you lose when you have that, right?
And the explanation, it's all in the prime act. It's all at the disposal of any soul living in the divine will. So taking Jesus and Mary's timeless acts on earth, the acts of all creatures, following the model of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Louisa is the funnel, is the conduit for this gift to be given to us. And, you know, something up here I neglected to mention also, when it says Jesus was speaking here, it says, and to actualize the plane of my operation in human generations, there's what's called the three planes. And also, if you go back to that on the website, that page, Divine Will Visual Aids, besides the Ardent Desire, there is a diagram also of the three planes, you know, not airplanes, but, you know, just landscape, so to speak, of this gift. Again, nice to look at. Again, lodge it back in the head, and perhaps it'll be needed when we're reading something else. But yeah, Father Nuzzi again gives us a great summary here. So again, the late Archbishop Beccheri, he suggests that all who are journeying to be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. Not that the priest has to be present, otherwise you can't meet. That's not what he's saying. He's saying when we have that ambiguity, we have that dilemma, we have that quagmire, we're not quite sure the answer before we speculate and start telling people. Because remember, a mistruth will travel halfway around the world before truth puts his boots on. I think Mark Twain is credited for saying that. So we have to be very careful. And even Jesus, Louisa knew this better than anyone. And Jesus told her, be very careful when you speak about the divine will. I when I think about that, I actually shudder sometimes. So thanks be to God for hopefully being in our mind, in our lips, on our lips, and in our hearts. Any last thoughts, Marie? Oh, I think did I mute you?
No, I muted myself because I was coughing again.
Okay.
Sorry. Oh my
That's
goodness.
Okay.
No, I have nothing to say. You said it all very nicely and it's all good. Yeah.
It actually is all good.
Yep.
I'm gonna end then with, again, something very, very positive, I think. Volume 11, September 25th, 1913. We already mentioned it, but now, Blessed Jesus came and told me, quote, my daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of living in the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be easy and accessible in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place, end quote. So no more chasing butterflies. Wherever we are, the divine will is there, and so is our blessed Lord. There was a book written by Margarita Perrette back in the 1200s or 1300s, and so something about simple souls, and it's really very divine willish. It was talking about the near far of God, that God's not a million miles away. He's right here. He resides in us. And this was coming from a woman back in the 1250s. It wasn't really well received by the church. In fact, it was so poorly received that they actually burned her at the stake. But her writings were resurrected, I think, 100 years later by a theologian. And it's really interesting to see the similarity of the she was again she was given the tint of the divine will, and she was speaking about it, and the church just was not ready for it at that time, just like what we're experiencing right now in South Korea, where the largest group of cynicals used to be in South Korea, but now the bishops there have decided no more divine will, because they found it to be an affront to the magisterium and to their positions. And again, we've seen this before. Remember the Magnificat, Our Lady's Beautiful Words, back in the 80s, it was banned in Guatemala and in India. You could not recite it, you could not play it, you could not share it. If anyone
Jeez.
was caught, I mean, yeah, it was forbidden because the governments felt it was a threat. It was subversive. I think is the word,
Subversive.
subversive, yeah. So it was a threat to their power. Doesn't that sound familiar? Remember Pilate? He was
Bunch of
afraid.
communists. Yeah.
It's again, but again, all that's going to be smashed. God's got everything under control. So thanks be to God. Thanks for this opportunity. And we have next on Sunday, we have Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. I can't remember if it's Tennessee on Sunday or if it's Italy, because my mind's like a sieve. I'm thinking it might be Italy because I think we had Mother, but I don't know. Either one, you're going to have Italy or you're going to have Tennessee on Sunday, beginning at 2 o'clock. 1 o'clock begins the Adoration and Holy Rosary of the Divine Will. We're so fortunate. We really are. Thanks be to God for everything. Bye, everyone. Love
Hi,
everyone.
everybody.
Bye-bye.